This tape is brought to you through the courtesy of the Tape Ministry of the First Baptist Church, Lubbock, Texas. We are located at 2201 Broadway. Your donations make this service possible. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about how the devil does it. How to recognize temptation. I don't think there's any doubt tonight that the devil does it, because he's been doing it to you. And the subject of temptation, how to recognize temptation, is as practical as any study that we might encounter in the Word of God. In the fourth chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 15, contains the description of the temptation of the Lord Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. Now, you will recall that last Sunday night we began this series by introducing Satan as heavyweight champion of the world. He is the god of this world, and he has a diabolical plot to take over the world. And that plot includes the rule of your life. He wants to take over your life. And as heavyweight champion of the world, as god of this world, Satan could not rule the world until first he dealt with the Lord Jesus. Because in the manhood of Jesus, Jesus was a part of this world system. And so Satan, in order to carry out his victory, he must turn his attack upon the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe that the temptation of Christ has been preserved for us by the Holy Spirit for at least two reasons. First of all, by looking at the temptation of Jesus, God wants every one of us to know that Satan is the source behind all evil. He wants us to see Satan as the source of temptation. Now, there are some of us who get a little bit confused about this, and I think that's why God has the temptation of Jesus recorded for us, to clear up this confusion. There are some people who actually believe that God sometimes tempts us, that God is the author of temptation. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him." And listen to verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempts he any man." Now, the temptation of Jesus has been recorded that we might understand that temptation is never of God. Satan is the source of temptation. The second reason it is recorded for us is that we might understand that not only is Satan the source of temptation, but that we might understand Satan's system of temptation. God wants us to see how the devil does it. As Satan is standing in center ring as heavyweight champion of the world, we have the privilege of pre-fight films. Before we get into the fight with him, we can look at his style. Just like professional football teams, they look at films of other teams they're going to play, and they see their weaknesses, and they see their styles, and they see their plays. Here the Holy Spirit has preserved for us the temptation of Jesus. You see, the Bible says that Satan came and tempted the Lord Jesus. Now, the word tempted, in the original language, has the idea to search out. You see, what Satan was doing, he was searching out Christ. And Satan wanted to see if he could find a kink in the Lord's armor. He wanted to see if he could find a flaw in Christ's character. But you know, the devil always overplays his hand, doesn't he? And I think what is interesting is this. As Satan was searching out Christ, the Lord Jesus was searching out Satan. And what Jesus literally did was draw him out from his incognito. He drew him out into an open confrontation so that we could see how the devil does it. And as Jesus was tempted, Satan used every gun in his arsenal. He used every bullet in his gun. He let loose every fiery dart in his bow. Satan turned everything he had on Christ. And the interesting thing is, every temptation you and I will ever face, the Lord Jesus took there in the wilderness. And so Jesus allowed this to happen. God recorded it for us so that we could see how the devil does it. So that we could see his style. So we could see his method of temptation so that when he comes to us, we can recognize it. And oh, here's the beautiful thing about this. After Satan had emptied his gun on the Lord Jesus, when the smoke cleared, our Lord was still standing there. Isn't that precious? Now, how does the devil do it? Well, let us begin as we look at Luke chapter 4 by first of all learning five general rules about temptation from the temptation of Christ. Just some general things about temptation. Now, we've seen that temptation is never of God. Secondly, we know that it is not a sin to be tempted. The Lord Jesus was tempted at all points, like as we, yet without sin. Sometimes the devil makes us feel guilty for just being tempted, doesn't he? And you see, it's not a sin to be tempted. You think a lustful thought, the thought in itself is not sin until you act upon it. You think a prejudicial thought, that is not a sin to be tempted. And Satan many times tries to make us think that temptation itself is sin. So let's learn some general rules now from the temptation of Christ. First of all, here's what I want you to notice. Look at verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, the Bible says in verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. First thing I want you to see about temptation is this. Temptation is a part of God's divine plan for your life. Temptation is a part of God's divine plan for your life. Now, temptation is not from God, but He allows the devil to tempt every one of us. Jesus was led of the Spirit. God led Jesus to be tempted of the devil. It was a part of God's plan that Christ should be tempted. Do you see that? Now, the reason it is part of God's plan for you to be tempted is this. You see, many times we get the idea that temptation is kind of like a mean, angry, vicious, man-eating dog. And therefore, we think we have to tiptoe through life, and like the devil's like a bulldog, see? And we hope we'll tiptoe through life so we won't wake the devil up today. So he won't get me. I remember when I was a boy, I delivered papers when I was in the sixth grade up in Portland, Oregon. And I had one particular house that was down a road, and it was the only house on that road. I had to go about 400 yards down this hill. And I always left my bike at the top of the hill because I didn't want to have to push it loaded with papers back up that hill. But I hated to deliver that paper. There was the biggest, meanest child dog you've ever seen on the front porch of that house. And I mean, it was a daily warfare between me and that chow dog. And you know, I'd try to deliver the paper like this, you know. I'd tip to up there and throw it and run like a dickens, you know. Well, a lot of people think that's how we have to deal with the devil. Now listen. God allows you to be tempted, and you don't have to tiptoe through life. Just understand that you're going to be tempted, that God is aware of it, and that He's in the midst of it, there to help you. Because you see, a faith that has never been tested is not biblical faith. We must be faced with a choice in life. And daily, we are faced with a choice to obey God in the power of the Holy Spirit or to obey the devil in the power of our flesh. And so it's part of God's plan that you be tempted. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says this very thing in 1 Peter 1. It says that we are tempted to test our faith. All right, second thing about temptation. From the temptation of Jesus, we learn that temptation often comes to us immediately after our greatest spiritual experience. In Mark chapter 1, verse 12, in Mark's description of the temptation of Jesus, it says, "And immediately after the baptism of Christ, when the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove and said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased,'" Mark 1:12 says, "And immediately after, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness." Immediately after. In other words, the Lord Jesus had just had his greatest spiritual experience. The Holy Spirit had anointed him to preach the gospel at his baptism. And you know that's true of us many times, isn't it? That temptation comes to us after, immediately after our greatest spiritual experience. You know when the devil attacks me the most? I can go away to some great Jesus festival with thousands of kids or some crusade, and I can be on the mountaintop. And you know, immediately when that's over, there's usually that crashing letdown when Satan comes moving in. And he attacks us many times right after our greatest spiritual experience. And what I want you to know from that is we are never immune to temptation. We never get to that place. You remember when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel? When Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal, and there Elijah, a great man of God, made an absolute living mockery of the prophets of Baal, and he rained down fire from heaven, and all the prophets of Baal were killed, and you would have thought Elijah was God's King Kong. I mean, he had it made. He had his greatest spiritual conquest there on Mount Carmel. Well, friend, you turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse chapter 19, and the next time you see Elijah, he's running from a woman. Defeated. After his greatest spiritual victory, Jezebel jumps on him like a mad dog. And there's Elijah hiding in the desert, crying under a juniper tree, "Woe is me, God, kill me, get this woman off my back." After his great triumph, Elijah. And you see, I want you to understand that many times, I want you to understand this, when we've had a great spiritual experience, that's when the devil usually attacks us the most, just like he did the Lord Jesus. And in a way, my friend, temptation is a compliment that Satan pays you. Did you know that? Because the closer you get to Christ, and the more Christian, the more you grow in Christian maturity, the more apt the devil is to get on your case. And usually his temptations are in proportion to our spiritual growth. And usually the type of temptation will be in measure of our spiritual growth. His temptations become more subtle, more deceiving, more clandestine as we grow in grace. Third thing we can learn about temptation is that temptation often attacks us at our strongest point. You say, "But Barry, I thought the devil tempted me at my weakest point." All right, look at the temptation of Christ. Satan came to him after 40 days. The Bible says Jesus hungered. He had not eaten for 40 days and nights. Satan came to him and tried to get him to turn the stones into bread. Now, if that had been me instead of Christ, that wouldn't have been any temptation at all. Because no matter how hungry I was, I would not have the power to turn those stones into bread. That's no temptation for me. Because you see, I would have been weak at that point. I had no power to do that, which Satan would tempt me to do. But do you know that Satan tempted Jesus at his strongest point? Even though our Lord was hungry, all that did was increase his temptation to use his supernatural power to turn those stones into bread. Jesus could have done it, and Satan knew he could do it. So he hit our Lord at his strongest point. I don't know whether you've ever thought about that, my friend, but I'm convinced that when the devil comes to attack us, he attacks our strength because he's already got us in the areas of our weakness. Well, my friend, if you've got a sin bondage in your life, you've got a filthy, nasty habit that you've reinforced over the years, over and over again, he's already got you bound. He's already built up a stronghold in your life. He'll let you alone there, and then he'll start looking for your strengths. Have you ever said to somebody, "Well, oh, so-and-so, he committed that gross sin, but I'll never commit that kind of a sin"? The minute you say that, you better duck. Because we never come to the place when we are strong enough in any area of our lives to deal with the devil in the power of our own strength. And many times, he'll hit us in our strength when we come to the place to say, "Well, I'd never commit that." That's when you're most apt to do it. Fourthly, from the temptation of Jesus, we learn that we are never finished with temptation. We're never finished with it. I want you to look, if you will, at verse 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Now, the Greek word actually means departed from him for a more convenient time. See, the devil really was on the run. The Lord had him running. So the devil left him for a more convenient time. That does not mean this is the last time that Satan ever tempted Christ. And we are never done with temptation. We are never done with the devil. In fact, James 4:7 says that we can submit ourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But I want you to understand something. That when he flees, he is only retreating. He is only regrouping to come back and hit you again. We are never done with the devil. Are you aware of that? Every day of your life, we're never done with him. We are living in a battlefield. We are in a warfare. We are standing center ring, punching it out with the prince and power of the air. So we need to learn how he does it. We need to learn his attacks and how he works. And then one last thought. Temptation prepares us for service. Temptation prepares us for service. I get so excited about this. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus returned from Jordan full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit. Now, look at verse 14. After he was tempted, Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. All of the gospel accounts that record the temptation of Christ reveal that when he came out of that temptation, he did not come out weakened. He did not come out defeated. But he came out full of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, and he began his great supernatural miraculous ministry. Which says to me that temptation, when rightly met in the power of God, prepares us for service. And I don't really believe any Christian can ever truly enter the battlefield of life till he has met the devil head on in the power of the Holy Spirit, come out victorious. And once you've done that, God puts a spiritual tiger in your tank. And you become aware of the fact that Satan does not have to defeat you, that Christ is your victory. And we move out in service. So we need not fear temptation. God can use it to prepare us for a mighty life of victory in Christ. All right, that's the introduction. Now to get to the message. Now how does the devil do it? Look at verse 13 of Luke 4. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now I want you to circle the little word all. When the devil departed from him, he had already given him all of the temptation. Now what I want you to see is this. Satan emptied his guns on the Lord Jesus. He took every fiery dart that he had. He emptied his quiver on Christ. Every method he's ever got, every wile that he has, he tried it on Christ. You'll not find a single temptation that will ever come to your life that is not covered in the temptation of Christ. You see, the devil searched him out, or Jesus, and then Jesus searched Satan out. He drew him out into the battle, and Satan tried every trick in his bag. Now, here's what we're going to see tonight, and I believe this can be a good teaching session for us in about the next 10 minutes. And I want you to just really put your mental cap on and watch what God teaches us through His Word. Satan only has 3 bullets in his gun. He only has 3 arrows in his quiver. He only has 3 basic temptations that will come to your life. And tonight we're going to look at Satan's temptations so that we can recognize them as they come to our life. Now let's go back to the beginning, shall we? To Isaiah chapter 14, right quick. And we're going to see Satan before he fell. A leading anthropologist has written a best-selling book in which he says that human beings have 3 basic needs. I don't know whether he got this out of the Bible, but he's right on. 3 basic needs. The need for stimulation, that is something to do. Security, something to have, and identity, something to be. We all have three basic needs. The desire to do, to have, and to be. Stimulation, security, and identity. Now, evidently, the angels of God, their personality is made up much like man in that they have three basic needs. To do, to have, and to be. Now, God is the fulfillment of every need of your life. If you need something to do, God will give you His will day by day. If you need something to have, He will provide for all your needs. If you need something to be, He will provide your identity as you walk in the Spirit. Now, Lucifer, God's bright angel, had these three basic needs. And like all of the angels gathered about the throne, God was to meet all the needs of all of His created beings. What was Lucifer to do? Well, evidently, he was God's bright angel who had charge over all the hosts of heaven. And that was what he was to do, was to serve God by ministering out in this way. And what was he to have? Well, he was to have the security that he was pleasing God. And what was he to be? He was to be God's servant. But you here's what Satan did, what Lucifer did. He was not satisfied to let God meet his needs. He decided he would meet his own needs. And look at Isaiah 14, 12, and 13. I think you're going to find this very exciting. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. For thou art cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, and I want you to underline the three I wills of Lucifer. Three I wills. I will ascend up into heaven. There's the desire to do. His need for stimulation. He wasn't stimulated enough just doing what God gave him to do. He said, I am going to find some new stimulation, and I'm going to exalt myself. I will ascend up into heaven. Secondly, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation and the sides of the north. Those two I wills go together. What was this second thing that he did? He said, I need some more security. It's not enough for me to sit beside the throne. I've got to have my own throne. And then thirdly, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There's his desire to be God himself. Now, Satan prostituted those three basic needs of his life, the desire to do, to have, and to be. Now, watch how the devil does it. Satan's temptations that come to your life come out of his personality. And the same temptation that Satan himself moved into and created, he tries out on you and on me. Are you ready? Now watch this. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Three temptations that came to Adam and Eve in the garden. I call this Satan's unholy trinity. Satan's unholy trinity of temptation. He only has three bullets in his gun now, and I want you to see it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And it says that Eve saw the tree, that it was what? Good for food. There is the basic physical appetite. Stimulation. She needed the need for food. Satan tempted her in her physical appetites. Secondly, she saw that the tree was what? Pleasant to the eyes. There is her mental appetite. Her need for security. Satan was saying to her, oh, God's just trying to rob you and he doesn't want to bless you. He's not really providing for your needs. He's really robbing you of this security that you need. And you would have it if you just had that tree. It was pleasant to the eye. He met her mental appetites. And thirdly, it was a tree desired to make one what? Wise. Ye shall be as gods. The desire to be God. See, the same M.O. that Satan tried out on God in heaven, he tried out on Eve in the garden, didn't he? Physical appetites, mental appetites, and spiritual appetites. Now, friend, that's all you are. Physical, mental, and spiritual comprises all that you are. Isn't that right? You have three basic needs in your life. Physical needs, mental needs, and spiritual needs. And under the mental, I would include the emotional and all that goes with that. You are body, soul, and spirit, you see? And what Satan does, he tries to get us to, rather than live by faith and let God meet our mental, physical, and spiritual appetites, he tries to get us to step out in independence, just like he did, and to meet those needs our way. Now, what is sin anyway? My friends, sin is nothing more than the illegitimate use of a God-given appetite. Let me say that again. Sin is nothing more than the illegitimate use of a God-given appetite or desire. Okay, now let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Very interesting Bible study. First, we saw Isaiah 14. We saw Satan, his trinity of evil. We saw him try out these same three things on Eve in the garden. Now look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world. Now notice, all that is of the world. Satan only has three bullets in his gun. What are they? The lust of the flesh, the desire to do. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desire to have. And the pride of life, the desire to be. Notice the word that is used is the word lust. You know what lust is? It's a desire gone crazy. It's an over-desire. That's what the word lust means. You see, God has given every one of you, you teenagers here tonight, God has given you some basic, wonderful, beautiful appetites. He has given you some basic needs, physical, mental, and spiritual, body, soul, and spirit. And what the devil does is try to get us to take God-given needs and to meet them his way, rather than letting God meet them. And when we do it Satan's way, a desire becomes a lust. And it becomes sin. All right, now we're going back to Luke chapter 4. This is exactly what Satan did on the Lord Jesus. Three basic temptations, the trinity of evil, he tried out on the Lord Jesus. What did he say to him in Luke chapter 4? It's recorded also in Matthew 4 and Mark 1. Look at the three temptations. I simply list them. Turn these stones into bread. That was the need for stimulation. Now, did our Lord need stimulation? He was starving to death. He needed something to do to meet his physical needs, didn't he? Turn these stones into bread. Here was an appeal to the lust of the flesh, an over-desire of the flesh. Secondly, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, and God will send his angels who have charge over thee to bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What is that? Security. It was Jesus' need for security, to know that God would take care of him. God would not let him fall. It was his need to have. You see? It was the pride, the lust of the eyes, even to have the applause of the crowd. Can you see it? Satan is saying to the Lord Jesus, don't be a savior, be a magician. Jump off the temple, float down, and the angels will come and pick you up, and the people will go bananas over you. Why, man, you'll be the Houdini of the Jewish tribe. And everybody will think you're wonderful, and you'll have the applause of the crowd. You see it? His insecurity, the need to have all this popularity and all of that. What was the third temptation? The kingdoms of this world will be yours if you'll bow down and worship me. There he appealed to the pride of life. His need for personal ambition. Personal ambition. There they are. I want you to see this. Very important. Satan only has three arrows in his quiver, three bullets in his gun. Every temptation that will ever come to your life will come in a desire to get you to take God-given needs and to meet them the devil's way. Now that ought to be helpful. All right, now we're going to look at how Jesus was tempted of the devil and how these temptations came. All right, look at the first temptation that came to him. First of all, Satan attacked our Lord's physical passions, his physical needs, the need for stimulation. Now let me say something. There's nothing wrong with turning stones into bread, is there? Unless you're the Lord Jesus. What would have been wrong with Christ turning those stones into bread? You see, Jesus said he did nothing of his own initiative. He did nothing to please himself, but only to please the Father. And for the Lord Jesus to turn those stones into bread would have been to meet his physical needs his way rather than let God meet his needs. Do you see that? And that's why it would have been a sin. Now, what is the temptation here? Listen very carefully, because Satan tries it on you every day. Here's his temptation. He was saying to the Lord Jesus, you have basic God-given physical needs. You're hungry. God made your body for food. God doesn't want you to be hungry. Your appetites are given to you of God. Satisfy them. That's what he's saying. And here's what Satan says to you, and here's what he says to me. He says basically that all of your physical appetites were given to you by God, therefore satisfy them. Satisfy them. And so the question is, who's going to run your life? Your stomach or the Savior or God? You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, the Bible talks about people whose God is their belly. Did you know it says that? Whose God is their belly? How did Satan get to Eve in the Garden of Eden? His very first temptation was, she saw the tree that it was good for food. And Satan knows the best way to get to a man is through his stomach. It was good for food. And the implication is this, that you're to take your physical appetites and use them, satisfy them selfishly. Teenager, let me talk about sex for a moment, okay? You know, the devil, I guess that's his most powerful weapon these days. We're the most sexually oriented nation, I guess, that the world has ever known. I think we make the Romans blush. But you know what the Playboy philosophy keeps saying to us? He keeps saying, sex is a God-given appetite. Therefore, don't quench it, don't suppress it, satisfy it. Do what comes naturally. You see, the devil still says that, doesn't he? Now here's what God wants you to do with your physical appetites, whether they're sexual or any other physical appetite. We are not to satisfy those physical appetites, this desire for stimulation, this desire to do, this lust of the flesh, we are not to satisfy it selfishly. But we are to subordinate and surrender our physical appetites to the will of God. And Satan tries to get us to use our appetites selfishly. And the Bible says that many, many people have taken that God-given physical need, God-given physical appetites, they have used them illegitimately and have turned them into sin. All right, let's look at the second temptation. Satan took the Lord Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and told him to cast himself down. And he said, and he quoted from the Scriptures, from a messianic psalm, he said he will send angels to bear thee up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, I've studied on this temptation a long time, and I really believe I finally arrived at the basis of it. What was this temptation? You see, the Lord Jesus knew that he was God's Messiah. And his baptism just a few days before had validated in his own mind that he was the Son of God, the Jewish Messiah. Therefore, that means that all of the Old Testament scriptures regarding the Messiah would be fulfilled in him. Now here, Satan quotes the Bible, and he's so good at that. He quotes this messianic psalm that says that God will not allow the Messiah to be harmed, to be hurt, until the appointed time. He even has angels. In other words, the Messiah has a bodyguard of angels to protect him. In fact, on the cross, the Lord Jesus, remember he said that he had a legion of angels at his command? We're going to talk about that in two more weeks. Boy, God's got angels for you too to help you in the battle. Oh, but listen. Here is the temptation. Cast yourself down. He was appealing to the Lord Jesus' physical, emotional insecurity. He basically was saying this. All right, Jesus. If you're the Messiah, then God will provide for you. He has said he will provide for you. It says right there in his word that if you were to jump off this temple, he'll send angels to pick you up. I wonder if he really means it. I wonder if God really will take care of you. I wonder if he really will provide for you. And you see, it was a temptation for Jesus to tempt God. It really was saying God doesn't really love you. He says He does, but He really doesn't love you. You know, he does that to you, and He does it to me. Trouble comes into your life. Maybe you lose your job, Dad. Or you have some kind of problems financially or thus and so, and Satan whispers in his ear and he says, God says He loves you. He says that He'll feed the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, He'll clothe them and He'll take care of you, but He's not doing it. And He tries to make you feel insecure that God's not going to meet your needs, doesn't He? And so He appeals to your insecurity. And He's saying that God won't really take care of you. You know, that's what He did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's basically what He did. He appealed to the lust of her eyes, and she saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes, and Satan said, you know, God doesn't want you to have that. It's like a lot of teenagers, you know. You think your parents are trying to rob you, and your dad won't give you the car when you're 13 years old for some reason because he doesn't love you. Or your mother won't let you go to this certain place and do this certain thing, and Satan says, oh, they don't really love you. Well, they provide for your needs. And he lots of times tries to get us to test our parents, to test God, and to get us to step out and do it our way and meet our needs our way. Do you see that? That's what he did to the Lord Jesus. Boy, I praise God for His Word. You know what this craving for material things is in the life of most American people? You know what sociologists say about people who have to have things all the time? Who always have to have a new car and new clothes and new this and new that? They say that these are the most insecure people of all. And that they find security in possessions. It's this desire to have. The eyes, everything the eye sees, they can't deny it. I've got to have that. And somehow that builds security. Listen, my friend, if you live for material things, that is absolute proof that you have been convinced that God is far from you. That if you were to cast yourself off that temple, that God's off playing golf somewhere. And He's not going to meet your needs. Boy, I love the book of Job. Remember when Job's accusers came and said, curse God and die? Why, he's taken your family, he's taken your flocks, he's taken your house, he's taken everything. God hasn't met your needs. Tempt God. Test God. And oh, listen to what Job said. Yea, though he kill me, yet will I trust him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? That's what God wants us to do. When we have a need in our life, an emotional need, a mental need, a need like this, we're to put our faith in God. Jesus said, we're not to tempt the Lord thy God. He's with me. And I don't have to prove Him. And my friend, if your faith has to be proven, it's not biblical faith. Right on? Isn't that right? If your faith has to be proven, if you have to test God, it's not biblical faith. Jesus just said, God said He'd bear me up, and I believe Him. That settled it, right on? All right, now let's look at the last one. My time's way past gone. Satan took Jesus up and showed Him all the kingdoms of this world. Showed Him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, this is all yours if you'll bow down and worship me. This was an appeal to his personal ambition. It was appeal to his desire to be. His identity as a person. Now let me tell you just briefly what this temptation is. Satan did not say that if you follow me, you can no longer be the Messiah. Because you see, God had already promised the Lord Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. Isn't that right? In the millennium, when Christ returns, He will have that kingdom. You know what the temptation was? To take a shortcut. To compromise, to not get that kingdom God's way, not through death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and God's plan, but to do it Satan's way, to take a shortcut, and Satan could have given him all the kings in this world. It was a temptation to career, to attain position and popularity and power by compromising principle with the devil. Hey, teenager. Hey, young man, you like to make the ball team at school this year? Satan comes and whispers to you and he says, you know, you could do a lot of good witnessing for God if you made that ball team. You'll just trust me a little bit. I'll help you politic. Drop the right word in the right place, thus and so, and I'll get you on that team. Hey, young lady, you like to be a cheerleader at your school? Satan comes and he tries to get you to compromise, to get that position some way or another. Maybe you'd like to pass that test, because if you pass that test, maybe you get that scholarship. Satan whispers in your ear and he says, oh, if you get that scholarship, you can make a good career. You'd be a good tither someday and you make a lot of money. So he tries to get you to cheat on that exam so that you can attain what it is you want to attain. Now, I want to tell you something. God wants every one of us tonight to be somebody. God knows your identity. But what the devil wants to do is to get you to compromise and shave and do it his way and let him meet your need for position and personal ambition. It was a temptation to Christ not to be the Messiah, but to do it the devil's way. Now, how did the Lord meet it? Well, that's the sermon for next Sunday night, Overcoming Temptation. But let me basically say this. You only have three needs in your life tonight. Every one of you have a desire to do something. You're filled with a multitude of physical needs that need to be met. You're filled with a multitude of emotional, mental needs for security, the desire to have. And then you have that desire to be, the pride of life. You know what the Lord Jesus did? As a man, he took his basic God-given desire by faith. He trusted in God. He let the Lord feed him. He let the Lord meet his needs. He let the Lord guide his life. And he won victory over the devil. There are some of you here tonight that all your life you've been trying to meet your needs, maybe subconsciously, maybe not knowingly, but the devil's way you've been trying to meet your needs. And the devil has got you knocked down for the count. You're bloody from the battle. And you've not won the victory. The Bible says that Jesus went into that battle led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And I say tonight, if you want victory over the devil, first thing you must do is be led of the Spirit of God. That means come to a place in your life where you say, I want God's will to be done. I don't want to live in independence of God. I want to live in dependent faith in God. And I want my life to be led of the Holy Spirit. I want my physical needs, my emotional needs, my spiritual needs to be led of the Spirit. And then I come and I ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that Jesus Christ in me meets the devil day by day, moment by moment. And when Satan comes and knocks on the door of temptation, I send Jesus to the door. And Satan has to deal with the Lord Jesus over and over again. You know, he gets tired of that. He thought he was through with this in the temptation in the wilderness. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Satan must meet Christ every moment of every day. If you're not a Spirit-filled, Christ-led Christian tonight, you're not winning victories. And God wants you to have them. He's provided for them. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that the devil himself has taken God's good thing, God-given desires and God-given appetites. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that Satan has spoiled your goods. He's taken your desires and turned them into lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eye, pride of life. This church service tonight is an opportunity for you to find victory God's way. If you tonight would be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's already won your victory. My guess is there's someone here tonight, a teenager, an adult, that you've never been saved from the power of the evil one. Tonight, if you want to be saved, you can trust Jesus tonight. He's won your victory on the cross. In His resurrection, He has conquered the devil. And right there where you sit tonight, you can pray a prayer of faith. God, I've taken appetites and desires that You gave me, and I've given them to the devil. And I've been defeated. Then you pray, thank You, Jesus, for forgiving me on the cross. Then ask Him to come into your life and fill you with His Holy Spirit. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And the moment He comes in, He gets in the ring with you to fight the devil for you. And victory is already won.